Amen. All right, quick little quiz. Rich, you can't answer this question because you and I already talked about it. But can anyone tell me there is a song that is the number, it is the only number one song that has the oldest lyrics. So what number one song has the oldest lyrics? Turn, 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 the... By the bird. Oh, okay, so George, so this is really fun. George, so George is going to help me out here. Do you know who originally wrote it? God. Well, yeah, okay, God did write it. Yes, okay, so that's a cliche. God wrote, these are God's lyrics. Does anyone know the name of the guy who wrote it? No? His name is Pete Seeger. Pete, oh, did you say, oh, you got to yell it out. I can't hear you. Pete Seeger. Well, then, Catherine, what was the name of the group that originally sang the song? It was not the Birds. The Birds covered it much later. No, it wasn't Peter, Paul, and Mary, unless they had another name. Robert, you can't say it because you and I talked about it too. Sorry. No? It's called the Limelighters. We were talking about that earlier. It's very interesting. What's very fascinating is to hear a little bit of Pete Seeger's story on this, because he said, like in 1999, he donated 45% of the profits was going to go to someone else. He didn't feel right. He says, I'm going to take 50% because I wrote the song. And I'm going to take 5% because I did write 7 words in the song, and that was it. One of them repeated over and over and over and over again. Turn, turn. Now, it's really funny because I'm really curious. My balcony people, do you guys even know this song? You don't know this song?
What
song? What? Yeah. Wait. Hey, should we sing it? To everything. Oh, wow, you guys are terrible. That's why you're not in the worship band. So, turn, 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 a time to learn. Dun, 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 dun. You know, it's really a good song. They never did that? I know. They were a bunch of hippies, and so it was. It's a great song. If you've ever watched Forrest Gump, it's featured in Forrest Gump. So, so it's a great song. I have to admit, I listened to it probably way more than I should have this past week, but it's, you know, it's catchy. I don't know, like, it's a great song. It was what? Jangle pop? Oh, the jangly guitar. Yeah, gotcha. Yeah, it's a fascinating thing. And of course, it was written, the lyrics are pulled verbatim out of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Now, granted, again, he put some extra words in there, but very few, again, comparatively. And so this is one of those passages that a lot of people know, but of course we read it and we understand, we got to understand what is he trying to communicate? What's the purpose of it? Because in a general sense, would you guys all agree that there is a time for everything under the heavens? There's a time to live, a time to die, a time to mourn, a time to dance. Is he just simply stating fact, or is he helping us understand something different? This is where I think what Pete Seeger was trying to talk about was, especially this was written during the time of great internal upheaval, especially with the Vietnam War, and so he at the end of the song talked about now is the time for peace. It was really, you know, it was the hippie song of let's lay aside our arms and let's have peace. And that's why I think as we study this, you've got to ask yourself the question, where am I at in my life? This is also a really helpful passage, especially for those who are black and white thinkers. Do we have any black and white thinkers here? Like, it's just, it's this or it's this. It's just, meh, meh. Okay, yeah. How about upstairs? Anyway, yeah, is that's Audrey, I think. You got a glare right on you. Like, I can't not see you. I think this is an age thing. I really do. Is it true that the older you get, the grayer your thinking becomes? I think so. I really do. No, you don't think so, Jacob? Why is that? Oh, that's just, oh, it's just wrong. Thank you for that fantastic evidence. That's that's a black and white thinker right there. It's just wrong. So thank you for proving my point. That's super helpful. I know that everything was black and white. Everything was right or wrong. It was very simple. You just categorize stuff. And when you categorize it, you have an answer to that. And as you get older, you start realizing that the world is definitely not black and white. There's a lot of gray that shows up. Now, again, there's going to be obviously certain things that are black and white, and I think will always remain black and white. Things such as, should we believe that there is a God? Okay, that's not a black and white. We're not gray in there. We're not like, well, you know, kind of, because that's how weird religions get started. And the same thing like, should I honor my marriage vows? Okay, that's black and white. Not like, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe I should. Maybe I shouldn't. Should I care? There's certain things that are black and white and certain things, but most of this world is lived in the gray. Let me give you an example. It was very interesting. This was during my one of my intensive seminars for my doctorate. We were, the professor was going over a passage of scripture in the book of Psalms, and in the book of Psalms, it talked about how there's justice and the people rejoice when justice happens. I mean, is there sometimes a sense of your life that you rejoice when justice is finally meted out? And it was right at that time, no joke, this was right when Hugh Hefner passed away. And the professor was like, I think we finally got some justice. Like that guy who ended up corrupting a lot of stuff in this world is finally done. And what was interesting was the people in the class, the pastors, the younger they were like, you know, I don't know how I feel about this because God doesn't really like work that way, does he? I mean, God isn't like about taking people out. And I didn't have enough wherewithal at that point because I'd totally forgotten about it. But there was a time in scripture when this priest, and his name was Eli, and he had two sons, Phineas and Ferb, Phineas and Hophni. And it talked about how God gave a message to this young boy named Samuel about the death of Phineas and Hophni. And what's really disturbing about that is that in the text it says, and because God wanted them dead. Does that hurt you a little bit? Like that should strike us a little bit because we're like, wow, that doesn't quite sound right. This is one of those things when you talk about things are not often strictly black and white. There is some gray. I get these questions when people ask me about wars. Are wars good or bad? Are they black or white? Yeah. Robert already knows the answer. Well, that's a tough question to answer because what happens in war is mass killings. And of course, then we say, but wait a second, I thought one of our top 10 commandments is don't kill. And so what does a soldier do when that's one of his, or a police officer who is defending the life of someone else and they pull a trigger and they kill someone. Is there a time to kill? Is there a time to save lives? Is there a time to live and a time to die? This is one of these passages that whoever's writing this, if it is Solomon, saying at the end of life, as I'm looking back on all this, things are not quite as black and white as I thought them to be. It is much more nuanced. So as we go through this, hopefully you'll ask yourself, as I go through this, ask yourself the question, where am I? What is the time for me? Because if you are not aware of the season that you are in, I think that's where a lot of people mess up. I remember years ago when we had a friend come over. Her name was Signe White. She's currently like a camp guru over all the Lutheran camps of America. And we had served together in a camp Arrowhead years ago. And so she was coming out for a visit because she was doing some stuff to promote camps. And she was out here in Southern California for the New Year. And it was really interesting because if I remember correctly, the temperature was cold. Like it was 50 degrees. Like it was freezing to me. And she woke up one morning and she's like, hey, I'm gonna go for a run. And she's got shorts and a tank top on. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? It's freezing out there. And she's like, are you kidding me? It's like a heat wave. I love this. For her, the season was coming from someplace. And that's where, again, are things black and white. Sometimes, based upon the perspective we have, we end up in different seasons. Learning when things are good or right and when things are not is very important for us. And so let's take a look at this list and see what you think. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the sun. And I know if you're like me already, the song is playing in your ear. It's hard to read this without going, a time to be born and a time to die. Okay, a time to be born and a time to die. I love that he starts off with kind of the big one at the beginning. One of the hardest things that I found being a pastor is when I'm called into different situations and I have to adjust myself for the time that I'm in. I remember there was a Sunday when I was doing a baptism, and it was, you know, what a joy, right? You got this baby and you're splashing water and they're screaming and it's like, here's life. It's, you know, and you're just so excited. Like, this is amazing and this is life. But later that afternoon, I had a funeral. And it was really weird going to the funeral and feeling odd. Like, I just celebrated. Has anyone else, has that ever happened to you? Where you think of life and death and it's sometimes challenging. No one likes it when people die. It's always tragic. But you will die. There is a time that you will die. And what's really crazy about it is on the day you die, there will be people that will be born. That's how life is. And I think that's why we often fail to adjust ourselves because our black and white thinking says we've got to think this way all the time. This is what Christians do, and we've talked about it, we've hinted at this a little bit. We tend to think that Christians should just simply be happy all the time. We should just be rejoicing, right? And I can back that up, right? Like, you've been saved. And because you've been saved and you have a hope and you have a future, what a wonderful thing that is. So you should be happy. But that's not always the case, is it? Especially as Christians. And I think this is why tempering how we operate in this world is really super important. God has appointed a time for you to die. We often don't think about that until we go to a funeral. Usually when I do funerals, that's what I know that everyone coming to that funeral is thinking to themselves, I am mortal and I will eventually stop living. And that's when you can often talk to them about some pretty important things. You could talk to them about the afterlife. You could talk to them about what Jesus has done for them. What a great time. But then afterwards, I mean, who here sits around and contemplates their death? Anyone? Oh, Rich does, because he's depressed all the time. He's like, oh, I think about it. Rich goes through existential crises pretty much once a week. So, yeah, about weekly, yeah. So, you know, it's tough. I don't usually think about it. In fact, it's interesting I think the younger you are, the less you think about it. Am I right? Because when you're young, what? You're invincible. And what's really funny is a lot of it is just also a state of mind, because do you know what, in my mind, I think I'm about 27 until I try to stay up late. And then I realize that I'm not. I'm actually 49. And it's I pay the price the next day. Or I attempt to do water skiing and I go, oh, shoot, that's not. But I think to myself, I've got lots of years left. But I wonder how many I have left. And am I ready that there comes a time for all of us to die? There's also a time to plant and a time to uproot. As we know, that this would just be a seasonal thing. There's times that we plant seed. There's time that we think future and we plan ahead. And then there's sometimes that we don't plan ahead, but we're just simply enjoying what we have made. And again, many times I think this is also very generational. Thinking future is sometimes hard to do, especially when you're young. You know, I know people who they're getting ready to graduate college. This is not quite Jacob, because Jacob has a plan. But I know a lot of college students who are getting near the end of their senior year, and they're like, "What am I going to do with myself?" Right? And maybe some of you have, now again, some of you maybe are 30, 40, 50, and you're still wondering what you're going to do with your life. You know, you may want to speed that up a little bit. But this is, I think, an important thing. Are you planning how to plant and then also how to enjoy life? Is there a time we should celebrate and enjoy the work that we have put in? Oh, why? Absolutely. This, again, this is the season I find myself in a lot. When Heather and I have prayers at night, almost exclusively, you know what I pray? I'm like, thank you, God, for where I'm at in life. Like this, you know, I've worked hard. I've got to this point. I'm very satisfied and happy in the stuff that's going on. And I know, again, some of you have the Christian superstition. This is where your New Age kind of stuff pops in, where you're like, don't think that things are good, because then, whack, you're going to get smacked down. Because that's what God does. God is waiting up there for you to say, Lord, thank you for all the good stuff you gave to me. And then he will just rip it all away from you, and you'll be in a heap crying on the floor, and you'll be like, I'll never thank God again for how good things are going in my life. That's not how it's supposed, that's not, God is not waiting to punish you when you say things are good. I'm happy when, there's other times though, when things are not good, and I'm worried, and I stress, and I think about what's going to happen. And that's okay. It's okay to plan ahead. It's okay to just enjoy. Sometimes people say, well, planning ahead, am I trusting in God anymore? Yeah, you're trusting in God. Years ago, I never experienced this, but I heard this from my parents and then my grandparents, that there used to be a time that Christians were not allowed to own life insurance. Do you remember? Yes, you remember this? Yeah. Because do you just not trust God? I mean, shouldn't you just trust God to take care of you at the end? Yes, but you don't sit around with your crops and go, I really hope some corn grows up here. Well, did you plant any corn? No, I'm just hoping that it does. No, there's a time for everything. There's a time to kill and a time to heal. And you have to know what time you're in. And again, I think this is kill in the general sense in terms of healing, but there are times that happens. But also, how often have you ever struggled over putting a pet to sleep? Is there a time to kill? And then there's also times it's like, no, I'm going to spend $30,000 and Fluffy will live again, I promise you. And again, it's tough because which time are you in? You know, and when I was younger and I didn't have a whole lot of disposable income, let me tell you, when Fluffy got sick, sorry, Fluffy, you're going the way. Like, I don't have enough money to heal you, but I got enough money to put you down. But I know, you're sad. But then you get a little bit older and you're like, okay, we had a problem with this. Jacob, do you remember the time? It was Kirby. This was this Kirby dog. It was so sad. This little wiener dog, and if you know anything about wiener dogs, they often have bad backs because they like sag like down in their belly. I feel bad for them, especially for them in the snow. It's like you can just see this little thing, this ramp that they make. But it was so sad one day, and I don't know why our dogs have just taught each other to do that, is when the mail carrier shows up, you need to bark uncontrollably and especially run at the door, which is this metal door, and you have to hit it at full speed, and it makes the mail carrier jump out of their skin, freak out. And then it's always fun because I go, hey, do you want to see the vicious animals that are about to attack you? And I open the door, and there's this wiener dog. And they're like, that's the killer that I'm afraid of? Yeah, don't. So one day, Kirby hits that full speed and jacks up his back. And Jacob was sad. Jacob was very sad. And we're like, Jacob, we don't have enough money for surgery. I forgot how much the surgery was, but I'm like, man, it's either that or you get braces. And he's like, forget the braces, just save the dog. And I'm like, well, let's find out. Let's see what God. And so Jacob prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed. Of course, Heather was like, please live. Just praying and pleading to God. And it was crazy. A week later, Kirby was fine. And we didn't have to put him down that. There's a time to kill, and then there's a time to heal. What you need is wisdom to know when. A time to plant, there is a time to tear down and a time to build. And you can move this into other areas of your life. There is a time, especially if you're in a dating relationship that is not healthy and not good, sometimes you need to tear that puppy down. Just get rid of it. But then there's other times when you need to build it. I get this question so frequently when it comes to people in dating or engaged relationships. They're like, yeah, things aren't going well. How much effort should I put into this? Because I'm not married to the person. But if all you do is give up when things get hard, is that a good thing to do? Well, how do you know which one is which? When should I do this? I don't know. You got to pray. There's a time for everything. Time to build. Time to tear down. There's a time that you may, I remember years ago, struggling with what we should do with our house. You know, we have three bedrooms, and, you know, the kids were large. You know, if we had smaller children, maybe it'd be better. But they're big people, and we're like, what do we do? Do we move, or do we add on? Well, which one is the wholly correct answer? You don't know. You just have to. These are things you have to think about. I like my choice too. I'm very happy, and especially thanks to Mark Lehman, who helped pull that all off. Without him, we wouldn't have been able to do it. There is a time to weep and a time to laugh. Please, that is so important. Stop trying to make everyone feel happy, especially if they're sad. You've heard me talk about this, but it's so crucial. If someone just lost someone, coming in and saying things like, well, they're in a better place. Really? Is that what you want to hear? If you lost your wife or husband or parent or child, do you want to hear, oh, they're in a better place? Do you want to hear something like, well, it was just their time? Are those true and factual statements? Yeah, they are true and they are factual. They're just not helpful. Sometimes, if you have someone who's going through depression, do you just say, buck up, happy camper. You can do this. Or do you say, hey, sometimes there's a time to cry, and sometimes that's where we find ourselves. This helps temper our Christian response to things. There is a time to mourn, and I cannot impersonate Kevin Bacon very well, but there is a time to dance, right? And all the ex-Baptists are like, no, I'm pretty sure that's the devil's activity. No, there's a time to dance, right? Is there a time to dance? Absolutely. I love to tell the story because I think it's a really cool story. A couple years ago, we had started Searchlight, and we got people from all ages. It's great. I love looking out here, and there's like young people, and there's old people, and then there's people like me that don't know if they're young or they're old. They're right in the middle, it seems like. And we had this one young lady. She was from Concordia. Her name was Kimmy Olivar. And she left because she had to do a doctoral program up in Washington. Ah, really? There's a time to leave and there's a time to stay. And Kimmy, your time is to stay. But she felt it was her time to leave, and so she left. But what was really interesting, if you remember Kimmy, do you guys remember Kimmy? If you didn't know who she was the one that was usually on the edge, and she was usually the one that would kick off her shoes, and she was the one that when, especially some of the songs, yeah, she's just moving around. And what's really fantastic about it was we would have John and Carol, and I think John is watching, I'm pretty sure. And it was really great because John and Carol, older couple, and they look at her and they're like, wow, does she need help? Does she need shoes? Do we need to donate something for her? Is she, like, what's wrong with her? But what was really cool about it was John and Carol knew that there's a time to mourn and there's also a time to dance. And John and Carol and Kimmy became super fast friends. And even when Carol could no longer visit us, Kimmy would go and visit them all the time because they knew it. Is there a time to dance? Yeah, there's a time to dance. And so if you are in a time of celebration, was there ever a time that there was dance in Scripture? Right? 100%. Because again, Kevin Bacon taught us this, that King David danced. And it was really interesting because as he's dancing with this processional, because he's excited that God's presence is there and he's excited that God's hand of mercy is on the kingdom. And as he's dancing and he's celebrating before the Lord, someone was not approving. Do you remember who that was? His wife. Why are you doing that? That is undignified. A king should not be doing that. And then some of you are like, that's right. Kimmy, just stop dancing. Stop moving. No, there's a time to dance. There's a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them. There's a time to embrace and a time to refrain. I think COVID has really helped us with that, right? You know, this pretty much killed Heather, a time to embrace. She's like, every time is a time to embrace. I want to hug everybody, but there's also a time to refrain, and that's okay. A time to search, and a time to give up. I know as Christians, we often think when it comes to God and healing that we pray for healing, but sometimes it's time to let something go. It's time to let someone go. That can be hard to do. A time to keep and a time to throw away. I know, that hits me really, because to me, every day is a good day to throw something away. Like and then Robert's back there. Yeah, so I'm gonna tell the story and I hope he's okay with it because it's a great story, it really is. So we're helping Robert, he's cleaning up his house because he's getting ready to sell, he's moving into his motorhome so he can be homeless and travel around, it was really cool. And so he's got this house that he's lived in for like 372 years, and we're cleaning out the garage, and I come to this stack. What was the name of the magazine? Was it Popular Mechanics? Popular Mechanics, right? Have you heard that magazine? Popular Mechanics, yeah. He read it for the articles only, don't worry. No, so he has this stack of magazines, Popular Mechanics, and I'm like, well, we got to get rid of these things, right? And he's like, no, Mark, you don't understand. In one of those magazines... You already know the end, like this. You've all heard this or you've said it. And in one of these magazines, there is this plan, this table, and it is half terrarium, half aquarium. And I am so excited to, Paul, is this you? Paul's laughing really. Oh, that's you. Oh, you're laughing like, please don't hit me, Catherine, because this is, yeah. So we, and I looked at him and I said, Robert, I said, There's this thing, and it's called the internet, and we could search, and I like pulled it up. I'm like, look, here's some plans for a half terrarium, half aquarium table, and he looks at me and he goes, fine. And of course, immediately, hey, if you're going to give me the chance to throw something away, I'm going to throw it away. So I race over to the thing and I pick up the thing. This is a true story. As I'm walking it out to the recycle bin, I hear this voice yell out, "You have no soul." So, Robert, there is a time to throw away, but there's also a time to keep. Yeah. We did actually keep something really cool that day. We found an old Monopoly set that was not called Monopoly. I can't even remember what it was called back in the day, but it was really cool. It was worth $25 on eBay. There's a time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be silent and a time to speak. I don't know why, but I feel that this is really super important for today. Sometimes it's important to speak up. It's also sometimes really important for you to just please stop talking. Stop making it worse. Learn to listen. But again, I think some people are like, but yeah, isn't there a time also that we need to speak up for things? Oh, absolutely. Well, when is the right time? God, give us wisdom. Please help us know when to be silent and when to speak up. There's a time to love and a time to hate. And again, you're like, wait a second, I didn't think that there was a time to hate, right? Should we hate sin? Yeah. So, but should we hate people? Well, again, is there a time that God said, yeah, these people aren't going to live because it's in my heart that I want to kill them? Are there some people that are just so evil, so bad, so despotic that they... Like, is anyone here... I know we always go to Hitler, right? Yeah. I heard the story. Again, I didn't get a chance to fact check it, but I was talking to someone else, and they said they had heard the same story, so I'd love to look it up. But there was a guy, his name is Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Have you ever heard of this guy? Yeah, he's a very religious man. And one of his things was, look, we should not hate, we should not kill. God calls us to peace, God calls us to love. But then something changed his mind. And what was it? Hitler. Dietrich Bonhoeffer actually plotted Hitler's... Is that true? Yeah. So Jacob is very... Okay, and Rich... And he died because he tried to... Now, again, you wonder, like, what caused him to do that? Because sometimes in the face of serious evil, it needs good people to stand up and say something. And then there's other times when we say, are we doing this and standing up because we're just simply personally offended by this? Or is there really something I need to be doing here? And Lord, help us to know which is the right one. Rich. Yeah, yeah. There is a time that we need to not be happy with things. Like, again, I say this when I've had to do this with people that are caught in sin. I sometimes have to say, you are not doing things correctly. There's a time for that. But then there's also a time to say, I want to give you God's grace and God's mercy. Well, how do you know which one is which? When to do which is which? God grant us wisdom to figure that out. There is a time for war and a time for peace. By the way, some of you are freaking out right now. Like, are we going to cover the whole chapter right now? Because you are really slow. My plan was to cover the whole chapter. I'm going to stop it right here, which is great because the next week I already got the sermon plan. It's going to be wonderful. There is a time for war. And there is a time for peace. It's one of those important things we need to think about, that sometimes war is what God calls for. Especially, again, if you are someone who has been a serious student of the Old Testament, have there been times that God says, go to war against those people? Yeah. And by the way, when you go to war against those people, everyone dies. Man, woman, child, donkey, cow, horse, everything is gone. And you wonder, I don't know how much I like this, God, right? But there is a time for war and a time for peace. And thankfully, God said, the reason why I'm asking you to do this is because I know for a fact that if you don't do this, these people are going to come and they are going to draw you away from me. So you will end up losing your salvation. And again, what did we understand? What is the most important thing? Salvation. Your bank account, you could be the wealthiest person in the world and die without Jesus, and that's a tragedy. You could be the poorest person in the world and have Jesus, and you will have everything. So when it comes to your salvation, how important is that to God? It's the top. So that when stuff happens in your life and you're thinking, is God trying to get my attention? He just very might be, because you are going down a path that you should not be going down, and he says it's time for you to make a change. And there was a time for God to have to make a decision, a time to die. There was a time that Jesus had to die. It's really interesting as you read through some of the Gospels and Jesus enters into something or he even refrains from going into Jerusalem. There's a time he was like, I'm not going into Jerusalem. Why? Because they're going to grab me and kill me. And you're like, wait, I thought you were like God. Can't you like freeze time and be like all matrixy and be like, shh, you know? And yeah. But he says, no, this is not the time, but there will come a time that I will come and I will die, but this is not now. It's the same thing too. Again, he was really nice to his mom. Here he is, the first miracle is taking place, John chapter 4. They run out of wine, and so the mom's like, Jesus, help out. And he's like, Mom, it's not my time yet. But he's gracious. And there's a time for everything. And Jesus had it planned. God had it planned. It's not a surprise. When things happen in your life, they are a surprise to you. But God is not surprised. So when you have that person in your life that passes away, God was not surprised. It was their time. And there's a time for people to give birth to children. And some are like, but I want it to be on my time. I want it to be in my way. I want it to happen with my thoughts. And God says, yeah, that's really funny. That's really hilarious. That's how Mark Thomas was born. We were in seminary, and I was like, God, I'm going to give you 3 months. And I was like, yes, let's do it. 3 months. 3 months. Like, God, you got a 3-month window. And I'm so confident in myself because Heather had been on birth control for about 5 years. Now, when you get off birth control, what normally happens? Usually takes a while for it to, you know, leave the system. So I'm like, oh, this is great. God's on my side. This is so wonderful. Because I had a plan. And then boom, God has a plan. His plan was for Mark Thomas to be among us here, to be with us, to be a part of our lives. God is never surprised at what happens in your life. And may you know that whatever happens with you, whether someone lives or dies, whether you move or you stay, whether you plan to go to this college or that college, when you plan this career or that career, there is a time for everything. And you need to know, what time am I in? Are you in the time that you need to start being a productive member of society? Is there a time that you need to be, no, I need to be focused on my studies and make this important? Is there a time for you to be focused on your grandkids and say, I'm going to do whatever it takes for them, and I want to make sure that they're all taken care of? Is there a time that I pick up and move to be closer to my grandkids? There's all these things we have to do, and I think the most important thing that we should learn from all of this is you've got to be praying. If you are making decisions just based on what you feel, that's not a smart move. What does God want from me? How does God want me to live? When should I sacrifice? When should I not? When should I tear? When should I mend? When should I break up with a person, or when should I start a relationship with a person? These are all things that we go, God, help us understand your time. And someday, as we keep harping on, you are going to die. And it'll be wonderful when those who know God and know Jesus, and probably more important, that Jesus knows them. That'll be our time. So if something happens in the next week and I pass away, don't look so happy, people. It's all good. They're like, I'm going to have a great funeral. No, I'm going to be in heaven. It's going to be awesome. Paul's laughing good. He'll be like, finally, let's get rid of this guy. No, he never says that at all. Know that God has a time and a season for you and where you're at. Let's pray. Father, thank you for